You're listening to the Body Pros podcast coverage of CROI 2009, the 16th Conference on Retroviruses and Opportunistic Infections. The conference took place in Montreal, Canada, from February 8th through February 11th, 2009.
Welcome. This is Bonnie Goldman, Editorial Director of The Body Pro. Right now, I'm in the poster session where researchers are standing in front of their posters. There's nothing like hearing the results of research directly from those who have actually conducted the research. It is these women and men who are transforming HIV treatment and care. In this podcast, the researchers will introduce themselves and then summarize their study. After their summary, I'll ask a few questions.
My name is Vivek Jain. I'm an infectious disease researcher at the University of California, San Francisco, and I can tell you about poster 673 first. So this is an analysis of patients who have acute and early HIV infection, which is a special population of patients, and it's an analysis of patients who have acquired HIV that is drug resistant. This is a major public health problem because patients who acquire drug resistant virus are at risk of having antiretroviral failure if that drug resistance is not accounted for. So this project is simply a look at the epidemiology of that trend. And we had previously published some trends going from 1996 to 2002, and we now are reporting trends from 2003 to 2008. And what we found is that overall the transmission of drug-resistant virus seemed to increase from 2003 to 2007 to the point where in San Francisco in the year 2007, 28% of all new cases of HIV were resistant to at least one drug. What's interesting is that the following year, in 2008, we had a large drop in that resistance, and this is an interesting trend that we're going to look at now to see what led to that drop.
Wow. So this was a surprising result, wasn't it?
Somewhat, yes. But I think there are several theories as to why that resistance has gone down. I think one of the possibilities that we're starting to think about is that in the second half of 2007 and early 2008, we had the addition of several new powerful drugs into our armamentarium. And we wonder whether we took a lot of patients who were previously resistant to all the classes of antiretrovirals and got them on these new, more powerful suppressive drugs, eliminated the viremia in those patients, and we are wondering if it's possible that is what led to less transmission among the networks in our city. That's a theory at this point, but it's something we're interested in looking at.
So I see that NRTI resistance was more than NNRTI. That's sort of a surprise.
Yes, and I think, the numbers are a little bit on the small side. Some of the years it's the opposite trend, and I'd say in many of the years they're similar, but I would agree.
Okay, how many patients did you have?
This is a total of 266 patients who entered our cohort from 2003 up through the end of 2008. So this is one of the largest groups studying patients with acute and early HIV.
And we don't know if this is a blip, 2008, or if this is a trend, right?
We don't yet know because the data from 2008 just finished as of December 31st, and we're going to be monitoring the data from 2009 pretty closely, and we will see over time. Time will tell whether these trends hold up. Hopefully, the transmission of drug resistance will be at lower levels because this is a major public health problem.
Right. And so, did you already report the data? Did we already know that it was so high from 2003 to 2007?
That has not been reported yet, but we are just about to report that. And part of being here at the conference is to share that data with everybody.
Right.
Now.
So there's the good news and there's bad news. The good news is about today, and the bad news is about yesterday.
I think you could put it that way. I'd point out a caveat. This is our experience in one cohort in one city of San Francisco, but we do have a big problem with drug resistance in San Francisco. So a lot of trends are seen in San Francisco that then are seen in other cities. So hopefully these results are useful to other clinical groups.
Okay, great. Thanks.
The opinions expressed by hosts or interviewees in this podcast do not constitute professional advice, should not be considered substitutes for professional services, and do not necessarily represent the opinions of Body Health Resources Corporation or its sponsors. Please see the full disclaimer online at thebodypro.com. If you have comments or questions, please contact us.
Thank you for listening to this report from CROI 2009. For more coverage of this conference, visit us online at thebodypro.com/CROI2009.